I am rolling, so go ahead and whenever you're ready.
What a fantastic day at Soho 24. Made some new friends here, which I'm really excited to chat with. Maybe start with some introductions, and we'll go from there.
Sure, that's great. I'm PVK. I head market strategy for the customer service and customer experience products at Soho, which covers our products across marketing, sales, service, commerce, and parts of BI and AI.
That's all. That's quite a portfolio. So yeah, you have your hands full. Well, congratulations on another great Soho event.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm happy that you could all make it as well.
Thanks. Yes, sir.
Yes. Hi. My name is René Salemi. I'm the Director of Operations for IDT Retail. Basically, we're a telecommunication and technology company based out of Newark. I run the operations side, so I'm busy with implementation. So implementation was one of my projects actually about five years ago. And we started in a small startup within the IDT environment called National Retail Solutions. And it went from there. We started with about 20 people, and now we have about 700 people.
Wow, that's quite a journey. So tell us about that starting point. How did you start, and what was that journey like for you and the team?
Okay, so the starting point was very casual. We needed to get a CRM running because, you know, this business, particular business, the division that we were actually building at that point, the startup that we were building at that point, needed a lot of attention, you know, particularly somebody that actually, something that actually could fulfill the customer's expectations in terms of, you know, the process, the customer care. That was very important because remember, I probably didn't say that, but one of the things that actually National Retail Solutions did was put in front of the store a POS, a point of sale. So imagine that became the heart of the business. So for that, you needed something to substantially help the customers on very quickly. So we started searching for CRMs, and Soho came across, and we started building with Soho, you know, the infrastructure, the users, the platforms. And this is a few years later where we are.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, it's going to be great to chat about your journey and dive deeper. Yes, next guest.
I'm Melissa Gordon. I'm here from Tidal Basin. Tidal Basin is a government consulting firm. We got our start in emergency management, and in 2023, we launched a new division focused on enterprise solutions. So I lead that division, which consists of technology services, financial services, and contact center solutions. And then I was here this week to talk about how we have implemented Soho, both to help support our internal operations, but also to help support our clients.
So that sounds like a lot of mission critical kind of technology, talk financial services and enterprise, and even emergency services. What's that journey been like from deployment to today?
In terms of our Soho journey or the operational?
Yeah, I mean, both sides. Be interesting to kind of see that journey and how it's unfolded.
So in terms of the emergency management work, our CEO actually worked at FEMA for many years. So when he left, he actually started the company and then grew the business. I think when people look at emergency management, they think specifically of response. But we do everything from like financial compliance for federal programs. We do fraud, waste, and abuse review and analysis and things like that in addition to the response work. We also help companies and businesses and governments create preparedness plans. And so we've kind of built upon that. And then our enterprise solutions journey was a result of our clients' needs within the emergency management space. And then we broke that out to be able to then grow that into other markets and industries.
Fantastic.
And then with Soho, we actually started, when we initially started using it, it was really to manage the client relationship. So we started obviously with CRM. But then what we discovered is that a lot of the work we were doing required the use of tools that could be quickly set up and implemented. And so then we've used them for a lot of interaction with like the general public in conducting our work.
Yeah. So how do you view the Soho suite? You know, so many different tools and applications. There's, I imagine, a constant discovery of this feature, this capability. What is that like as a customer? And how do you roll out new capabilities, new features, new applications?
I would say when we initially rolled it out, it was very much organic. We were going to roll out the tools, make them available, and show people what was possible and then let them ask for them. Yeah. And we knew that by taking that approach, it might be a little bit slower adoption, but the adoption, like the tools would speak for themselves. And so when we started in 2019, when I started with the company, they were already using CRM. And then we added Project pretty quickly thereafter. And then we quickly followed with Zoho Desk. Mm. And Zoho Desk really, I think, launched our adoption across the organization, because once we launched it for our corporate help desk, we started to see use cases where Zoho Forms merged with Zoho Desk could be applied for projects. It could be applied across all of our corporate departments. And then when people started to see what was possible with one tool, they started to ask, well, can we do this? And is this possible? And then that kind of expanded.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It must be very gratifying to see customers being so creative with the way they use the applications and integrate them and find new ways of using the tools that you probably at Zoho never necessarily envisioned. What's it like from the, you know, product side to see that?
Well, definitely. It is gratifying in that when we have a reasonably broad representation of industries and sizes and geographies and all that in our customer base. And so we're able to see a wide variety of ways in which this tool can be used. But when we speak with customers like Renee and Melissa, what we see is that there are possibilities that are not obvious when you look at the software or when you define the problem statement a certain way. Right. And there are several manifestations of the same problem statement. And when that happens effectively, customers can get really creative. Our responsibility as the underlying software platform is to keep it simple, and keep it extensible so that they're able to pick it up and do exactly what they want to do without, a lot of the bloodshed, so to speak.
Yeah, you don't want that. And Renee, I mean, you've been here today. You've been to other Zoho events. There's so much information exchange and networking and learning. Are there any takeaways that you discovered today that, hey, ideas to take back to the team and potentially implement over the course of the year?
Well, I think that every time you come to these events, you learn something new. And particularly, I think in this case, I see one of the things that I'm looking into is AI. And because we are sort of like organizing ourselves to see how much more can we do with it, within our company. So that is a takeaway that I take from the meeting. But also I think the emphasis also on the whole event is, like you said, exchanging ideas, talking to people, collaborating is what I like about this coming to this event, because you just don't go. You go there because you know that you're going to meet people, you're going to talk to customers, you're going to talk to co-customers, you're going to talk to, people on the organization. And the exchange is always good every time I have come. And I think that validates, that long travel and everything else you use to get here. And I think that's fantastic. That's one of the reasons I come, because I really enjoy the whole process and the whole event, actually.
Yeah, I would totally agree. And Melissa, I mean, enterprise software, as you know, has been notoriously challenging to deploy, to maintain, to use, just usability. What's your experience with Zoho? I mean, you can be completely frank. What's it been like working with Zoho the last number of years?
Now, it's actually been refreshingly easy. So we have a single system administrator who has managed the platform since we adopted it. And then even as we've expanded it, she has been able to continue to manage and maintain the configuration. I would say the one challenge we have had is around documentation. I think the plus side is Zoho is rolling out so many new features so frequently that the documentation sometimes lags behind. Yeah. But I think what they use to counteract that is their customer support team, who is readily available and has been able to walk us through anything that the documentation doesn't clearly define. So that's been helpful. I think our limiting factor with implementation is around our growth and refining business processes as we're growing and then trying to implement them quickly. And so for us, it's sometimes we can get held up by, instead of building for what we're doing today, we want to change the process before we build so that we don't have to go back and redo it. And that can sometimes slow us down a little bit. I think our bigger challenge that we saw in 2023 was that we started seeing so much demand that we needed to create separate teams just to be able to handle what our teams want to use the system for.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, a good problem to have.
Growth pains are a challenge. Well, it must be very gratifying for Zoho to hear all these stories and anecdotes. You're a very people-centric company at Zoho, despite, you know, being a software company and having all these engineers. Maybe talk about the culture within Zoho, both in terms of support as well as feature development, and give us a bit of an insider perspective on what that's like.
Oh, perfect. So I joined the company about 12 years ago, and much less than 1,500 employees. So a lot of the people that I meet here, that you all meet here, we've known each other for a really long time. So we're much more than colleagues, and we have a certain understanding that does not need to be written anywhere. That there's a code of ethics. There's a certain culture that's not necessarily written. We don't have a fancy handbook or anything like that. Everybody gets it. You join the team takes care of you. You get it. That's, you keep moving, right? That's basically what it is. In terms of just the product development and things like that, we usually take a very simplified approach, right? We define the problem statement in a few ways, and we try and see what the most common occurrence is, and then we essentially just build backwards from there. And in the vast majority of our software, we try to ensure that the first beta of whatever it is goes through Zoho Corp, right? In very, very few instances, like, for example, in inventory management or something like that, we probably may not be able to use it ourselves. Mm-hmm. But the vast majority of what we put out there has already been in use for at least 8 to 10 months inside Zoho Corp. So anything that makes the cut for Zoho is what our customers see. And in some cases, that may not necessarily adjust to their context really well, which is why we also have the early access, the beta programs and things like that. Mm-hmm. So when we roll out to the broader realm of the customers, we absolutely need them, need the thing to work the way everybody envisions it, right? That's one thing. The other thing is, with respect to documentation and customer support and things like that, the thumb rule internally is essentially just focus on what you have to do for that customer, take that learning and fix the system, mm-hmm. right? In some cases, that's it's a little bit more complicated than the others. But in the vast majority of cases, what we typically do is we relay that information somewhere internally, and then somebody picks it up, and the system does get fixed. I may not be able to explain how, and you may not be able to get that from me either. It just works in that company in that sense, right? And that's the thing that I've observed in 12 years has not at all gone down, despite the company growing 10 times in headcount.
Well, it's refreshing to see in this world of big tech where I'm not sure I could pick up the phone and call Microsoft and get my bug fixed. But no, that's a whole other story. What's on your radar, Renee, for this year? What are you excited about? What sort of business goals?
I'm glad actually that people mentioned that, because we're one of the people that actually are always talking to them and receive that support. Mm-hmm. I think that is very refreshing. You know, like you said, it's a tech company, but the fact that we have a meeting every week, for instance, mm-hmm. with, you know, key people, and our lead developer, he's a superstar, and I think he pinpoints every single time, you know, what needs to be fixed or what we would like to use. Osama is fantastic. And I think that, again, that is, what we're trying to do now for 2024 is actually continue building that relationship, because to us it's a partnership, you know, and this is how we approach it. And I think we have received from Zoho the same sense. It's a partnership. Let's work on this together, because if we make our business better, they become better too. So that's what we aim for in 2024.
For sure.
One of the most miraculous things about their deployment is they've been able to build and roll out their entire solution, Zoho solution,
yes.
with just one developer.
Yes.
Yeah, that's amazing.
He's
yeah.
fantastic. And he has some help also.
Yeah, you think about low code.
And we have I have to mention the Joel is fantastic too. His support. And again, I think that, you know, I think Melissa pointed out that you have one person, right? Mm-hmm. We have the same. We have a very small group. Actually, I'm fighting right now to get three more resources.
Yeah.
It's not happening yet, but hopefully it's going to happen. But, you know, the fact that you can do so much with Zoho with so little resource, and not only that, you know, not having a separate implementation team, has made all the difference in our.
I'm a big fan of small teams. It's the old two pizza team. If,
you know, well, and I also think it goes to Zoho's model of if our team runs into a roadblock and they go through the support and they need additional resources beyond somebody telling them this is how you do it, they're not telling you to stop, no. Go find a certified partner, this person can do it, and it's going to cost you 20, 30, 40, 50 grand. They're on the phone walking you through, showing you how, so that the next time you can do it on your own. And you don't find that with a lot of other companies.
No, that's very unusual, and that's part of the, as I discovered, the Zoho culture, the ease of doing business, low friction, you know, terms of condition and that are easy and certain. Tell us about that side of the culture, the sort of intangible. It's hard to describe, right?
Yeah, it is. It's actually pretty hard to describe, but the essence of what we're trying to do is to keep everything as simple as we possibly can, right? We don't think about secondary, tertiary, and aspects far beyond that. Somebody has come to us, they're essentially using our software, there's something critical there. If that's not the case, they would not be on the phone with us. That's the bare minimum understanding, right? At that point, you just essentially jump in and do what you can to address the situation at the moment. If it's something that requires a more prolonged approach to fixing that thing, it's probably a little bit more systemic. So it's even higher priority than that. But we're simplistic in that sense. We don't think about, this is doing this for, 50 customers a day is an opportunity cost for the ecosystem and things like that. At the moment, there's somebody that's come to you needing for help. We basically just get down and get stuff done, right? And that's pretty much what it is. I mean, even at the level of a team, if there's somebody who's had a bereavement in the family, or if somebody has to leave, they're sick or something like that, somebody miraculously steps in to cover for them. Nobody asks for specifically for help. There's not a specific, staffing matrix or something that's published on the walls or whatever. Somebody just steps in and gets work done. That's
so it's not like when I call company XYZ, I won't mention the name. I get my tier one, and then I have to ask tier two, and then I go to tier three, and can I talk to tier four support? That's really a challenge. So it's been a delightful day and a half so far. What's in store for the rest of the year? You do so many events, so many get-togethers and education and training. Mm-hmm. What are you looking forward to? Zoholics is coming up in a few months.
Yeah, we're actually doing Zoholics across quite a bit of cities. I think the last count was something around 20 cities in the world or something like that. So the internal joke always we make is at any point of time in the week, there's a Zoholics happening somewhere. But 12 years ago when I joined, Zoholics in the US was the only one, right? So for me, it's gratifying to see that we're able to do this in so much scale. But even then, we still keep the events small. We don't do a 3,000, 5,000, 80,000, leave alone 120,000. And we don't do events of that scale.
Because you could just open it up to...
Oh, yeah. We could if we wanted to, but we intentionally don't go for things like that because the connection is lost at that point. You move to a broadcast model, it becomes a show, right? We don't want that. And as you've seen all day today as well, there's basically no show. It's
lots
simple.
Of Q&A and interaction.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Simple, authentic, and crisp. That's essentially how we do it. Right?
I love it. Melissa, what about you? A lot of travel coming up. Are you going to be at Zoholics, or it's too early to say?
Too early to say on Zoholics. I will probably send my system administrator. I think it would be beneficial for her specifically. In terms of my personal travel for work and things like that, I actually don't have a lot of travel coming up, which is great. But I am really focused on growing our business. I know one of the things that I'm working on here specifically is related to the partner program and figuring out how we can really utilize that to also help assist our clients. We've definitely identified some use cases within the government space where we could leverage Zoho's functionality to support clients at a much lower cost than if you were to do custom development. Or use an alternative platform.
Yeah, that's a nice value proposition. And I just learned today about the ecosystem that exists and all the partners and channels. It's really kind of a best kept secret. So hopefully it's getting out here on video. What about you, Renee? What are you planning to do the next couple months?
This year, I've been traveling, the past 6 months somehow, in some locations, and I'm going to be probably doing the same. We're looking for things to improve, wherever Soho may take us. Hopefully We'll be in the Saholic meeting. I think there's one in Jersey City.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're going to be, probably some of my colleagues are going to be going there. And, you know, we'll see. It's a lot of stuff happening within the company. So a lot of, you know, different training, a lot of different things going on. And I'll be more than happy to be part of that.
And so it was always great at educating, informing, and entertaining. You guys put on a really fun get-together. I've never been to the Rio Grande Valley, this whole part of Texas. Really interesting coming from Boston. So I look forward to getting out and about. Thanks, guys.
Perfect.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thanks, Evan.
Thank you.
All right. That's a wrap.
All right. Thank you.
Perfect.